9 people were shot at a rooftop party in Madison over the weekend. The city's police chief says it's a miracle that no one was killed. It's Monday, June 10th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, multiple people have filed to run against Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in elections later this year. And Donald Trump has endorsed Tony Weed in his bid to represent the 8th Congressional District, but concerns are now being raised about his nomination papers. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
The president of Marquette University in Milwaukee died while on a trip to Italy, the school announced yesterday. Corinne Hess reports Michael Lovell had battled sarcoma, a rare form of cancer, for the past 3 years.
The 57-year-old Lovell and his wife Amy were in Rome with members of the Society of Jesus and the Board of Trustees on a pilgrimage when he became ill, according to the school. Lovell was hired as Marquette's first lay president in 2014. Before taking the role, he served as chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and an engineering professor. Since the announcement of his death, the Milwaukee community has responded with memories of Lovell's dedication to the city. The mayor said Lovell's commitment and service to Milwaukee went beyond the boundaries of Marquette's campus. Corinne Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
At least 10 people were injured in a shooting early Sunday morning at a Madison apartment building near the University of Wisconsin campus. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes said it's a miracle no one was killed. 9 people sustained gunshot wounds or were grazed by bullets just before 1 in the morning at the Lux apartment complex. Another individual was injured by broken glass. None of the injuries are believed to be life-threatening. Those shot were between 14 and 23 years old, including some high school students. Officers estimated several hundred people were attending a rooftop party when the shooting happened. As of Sunday afternoon, Madison police said that one victim was still in the hospital and that person's condition was unknown. A motive has not yet been released and no guns have been recovered. Madison's police chief said authorities believe more than one person was involved in that shooting. Detectives are still identifying suspects or persons of interest. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss will face 3 potential challengers in this year's primary and general elections. 2 of them have assisted an ongoing effort to remove him from office through a recall. Voss will face a primary against Republican Andrew Sigelski of East Troy, who collected recall signatures in May. He says he tried to recruit others to run against the longtime speaker.
Nobody else was willing to do it. I've been told that I'm the only one with the cojones to actually take the guy on.
And if Voss makes it through the primary, he'll likely face independent candidate Kelly Clark of Sturtevant, who recorded a pro-recall ad posted to Facebook last month. Democrat and former Lake Geneva Mayor Al Kupsick is also in the race. He says he was recruited by the state Democratic Party.
They got a recall against them, and the Democrats are feeling that there might be a better chance of actually winning that district.
On Friday, Voss filed a challenge to the latest recall effort. He claims organizers initiated it in the wrong assembly district. Wisconsin Democrats, meanwhile, highlighted the importance of party unity at their annual state party convention in Milwaukee this weekend. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the specter of the Israel-Hamas war loomed over the event.
While Democratic Party activists were energized during 2 days of speeches and events, anger from some Democrats about President Joe Biden's handling of the ongoing war in Gaza was also clear. Protesters interrupted a speech by U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Party Chair Ben Wickler said the conflict has been especially heavy for Jewish and Muslim Democrats.
The vast majority of Democrats and Americans join President Biden in hoping deeply and working for a ceasefire, the return of hostages, a flood of humanitarian aid, and a just and enduring peace with safety, security, and self-determination for Palestinians and Israelis alike.
Wisconsin Democrats passed a resolution calling for, quote, immediate unconditional ceasefire in Gaza. They did not pass another resolution supporting the removal of Israel's president. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Complaints filed with the Wisconsin Elections Commission raised concerns about nomination papers filed by former President Donald Trump's pick for the 8th Congressional District. Former Green Bay City Council member Tony Tyson is accusing GOP candidate Tony Weed of failing to ensure that his papers comply with the law. In the complaints, Tyson says he observed two people misleading individuals by saying they were collecting signatures to provide housing for the homeless. Green Bay resident and Democrat Sam Rowe says that's what happened to her.
I wish I could take it back. I feel like it was shady and like I was misled as to what I was signing.
Thiessen has collected signatures for State Senator Andre Jacques, who is also running for the 8th District seat. A spokesperson for Weed's campaign said Jacques and his allies are trying to remove Trump's pick from the ballot, calling it nothing more than dirty political games. Crane and heavy machine operators are on strike in southeastern Wisconsin, and that's halting work at over a dozen construction sites. About 800 members of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 139, walked off the job last Saturday. They say they're seeking better pay. That's caused work stoppages at construction sites in Milwaukee and five other counties across the region. The union has been negotiating with contractors since April on a new bargaining agreement. The last one expired at the end of May. Mike Irvin is with the union. He says his members are not backing down.
The workers are basically letting the contractors know they mean business. They're out here, they're on the streets, and they're going to be here until they get a fair contract.
Both sides are scheduled to meet again today. The contractors say their last offer included a, quote, very strong wage package. Coming up, Wisconsin had the first air quality alert day last month, and as summer gets into full swing, there could be a few more of those days in the future. I'll be chatting with the coordinator at the Department of Natural Resources on how we can prepare for those days. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
Smoke from Canadian wildfires blowing into Wisconsin prompted the first air quality advisory of the year last month. While it's too early to tell if there will be intense episodes of orange skies and the persistent smell of smoke that blanketed much of the state last summer, there are ways that we can be prepared and protect ourselves. Joining me now with some tips is Craig Czarnecki. He is the DNR Air Management Program Outreach Coordinator. Craig, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so last year, Canadian wildfire smoke spurred the most air quality advisories Wisconsin had seen in more than a decade. This year's first alert was issued back in May. It came 1 week earlier than the first alert last year. Larger and more frequent wildfires, though, are a growing public health concern. So how can we prepare for the next time that there is poor air quality?
The biggest thing that we're trying to tell folks this time of year, as we're kind of getting into wildfire season, is just know where to find your air quality information and how you're going to stay informed. Now is the time to kind of start planning. Make sure you have plans in place to protect not only your health, but the health of your family and your loved ones. Some different things you can think about, plans for modifying outdoor activities, protect your indoor air quality, and then make special preparations or arrangements for anyone who's maybe in a sensitive group, people like children, older adults, those who are pregnant, people with heart or lung disease. Those are the folks that are most sensitive to the effects of wildfire smoke.
For those folks who are not able to stay indoors or keep the windows closed when that smoke starts rolling through, what do you recommend they do?
There are a few things that folks can do. We do have a few different resources on our DNR's website. We created a wildfire smoke page. But yeah, if you don't have air conditioning or something like that in your apartment or your home, one of the things that we suggest people can make kind of a homemade air purifier. All you'd need is a box fan and a furnace filter. And we actually have some steps on how folks can create one of those. That'll help filter some of that air in your home, even without, you know, any central air or anything like that. So just a box fan and a simple furnace filter. A few other things, those N95 masks. I know many of us still have those those are able to filter out some of those small inhalable particles. So, you know, wearing a mask, if need be, is also a good idea.
On Morning Edition and on other programs, they have talked about zombie fires here on NPR, kind of those fires from last year that didn't really go out and they were still burning and then now came back. Is that something that the DNR has been monitoring?
Yeah, we've been kind of keeping an eye on things most of the winter, especially throughout kind of late winter into early spring here. You know, a lot of Canada has a lot of drought conditions still. Some of those fires didn't even go out. They just kind of smoldered. And then you pair that with some continued drought conditions that we've been seeing up there. And we have kind of a similar conditions that we saw last year. Still too early to tell whether or not we'll have the same significant impacts we had last year. But, you know, some of those conditions up in Canada are similar.
Let's say someone is the opposite of me and they wake up and do not check their phone right away for the news and what's going on during the day, the weather, things like that. Maybe they go for a morning walk and they have not checked their phone and there's an air quality alert out there. What are some signs and symptoms that signal, hey, maybe it's time to go back inside? Maybe the air quality is not great right now.
So big things that we want to tell people, things like coughing and shortness of breath, those are going to be like the two big main ones. If you're out for a run and you're usually not feeling those kind of symptoms and like, oh, you know, all of a sudden those come on, that would be a sign to take a break, take it easy, maybe move indoors. And then especially for those in sensitive groups too, people with heart and lung issues or ailments, the elderly, young children, things like that, definitely be watching for coughing, shortness of breath, wheezing, things like that. Those would be signs to take a break, take things inside if possible.
If that does happen, is that the best remedy? Just go inside and get away from that smoky air?
Yeah, exactly. Try to find some fresh air to breathe.
Which is funny because we normally think of going outside, we're opening the windows
to get fresh air. Yeah, exactly. Kind of the opposite now. But yeah, the best way to avoid wildfire smoke during those events, you know, is to stay indoors. Keep your windows closed, keep your doors closed up so none of that smoke can get into the house. Checking furnace filters is another thing. Typically, you want to be checking those, you know, every couple months during wildfire season, maybe checking them every month or so, every 2 months. And then, if they're looking real sooty and dirty, it'd be time to replace those. So just that's another really good thing.
Greg Czarnecki is the DNR Air Management Program Outreach Coordinator. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And that'll do it for this Monday. Lots happening over the weekend and today, a jam-packed show. Thanks for being here with us on Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Don't forget to let us know how we're doing. You can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast app or send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.